Welcome to the Ivy Tech Podcast, powered by the MBA Tech Club here at the Ivy School of Business. I'm Sam Sim, MBA class of 2021. I'm excited because today we're talking about the worlds of product management and product marketing. Our guest is MBA 2010 alumni, Adrian Norville. Adrian is interesting because he pursued investment banking after graduating and then moved into product management and product marketing. You'll hear him talk about how both of these roles work in a tech company versus a more traditional organization. He'll share his keys to networking in tech. And finally, he'll reveal his do's and don'ts when interviewing for a product management role. All right, let's get started. Hey, Adrian, how are you doing?
Hi, Sam. Thanks for having me.
And where do we find you today?
I am in my office just off the family room. So I'm surrounded by my stuff, my kids' stuff, and my wife's stuff. Her office kind of backs on to mine.
So we have a lot to unpack today because you've had quite the interesting career. You started out in investment banking right after your MBA, and then you switched to work at a telco. And then from there, you've held a couple of different product management and product marketing roles at startups in Toronto. But first, I want to go back to 2010, or even just before 2010, actually. Can you talk about what you were doing before your MBA and what led you to go back to school?
Sure. So the MBA was always on my radar once I finished my undergrad. I did my undergrad at Ryerson in information technology management. So a business program combined with a technical program, but it was very much heavily weighted to the technical side. So I went through 4 years of undergrad and I did 2 accounting courses and 1 finance course and came out with a Bachelor of Commerce. So I knew there were some gaps that I wanted to fill. And I started my career at Nortel. And in 2008 or 2009, Nortel filed for bankruptcy protection. And the business was put up for sale, division by division. And so it seemed like a great time for me to make that call to do my MBA. And then it was a question of where. From there, I applied to all of the best schools that I thought made sense. In the end, I knew I wanted to stay in Canada. So it became a choice between U of T or Ivy, and the Ivy case method kind of sold it for me.
And once you were at Ivy, you were in the program, what types of industries and roles did you explore? Did you always have your eye on tech, or were you looking into consulting, banking? Can you walk me through what you were interested in?
Yeah, like most Ivy students, I considered a diverse set of roles, those being consulting or banking. Very much sucked into that kind of MBA vortex where the prestige and the push for either going into investment banking or going into consulting kind of gets most people. And investment banking was something that was on my radar and I wanted to do. And so I kind of focused in on finance. I looked at private equity a bit as well, but in 2010, PE was still not that active in Canada in terms of recruiting coming out of the recession. So investment banking made the most sense for me. I did not look at tech at all. I did not look at much else. It was very much a finance focus for me.
And so you graduate, you do investment banking at BMO, and then you pivot into product management at TELUS. So what happened there? Can you walk us through that journey?
Yeah. While investment banking was interesting and fast-paced, there's drawbacks to it. You're working 100-hour weeks at least. You're working 7 days a week. You don't have control over your time or your life, really. And so there were parts of my life, my personal life, that were really taking a hit as a result. And I decided that investment banking wasn't a long-term play for me from a career perspective. And so I decided to make the switch away. And I took a step back and said, okay, what do I have that's useful here? I had tech experience and telecom experience from Nortel. And I had kind of business chops that I had honed during my MBA and about a year of investment banking. And so I decided, you know what, let me see if I can move into a telco, and product management made the most sense. My early job at Nortel gave me a taste of that, and it made sense for me.
While you were at TELUS, or shortly thereafter, you started a company called BaltiList.
Yeah, so I started that while I was at TELUS. That was something I did on the side. One of my good friends and classmates at Ivy had come up with this really, really interesting idea and said, hey, you know what, like, do you want to do this? And I was just kind of getting familiar with the tech startup scene, and I wanted to give that a try. And so we decided to do it on the side, evenings and weekends, and, you know, two single guys who have time to learn to code or do the business development and all the research and the work. So we did that for a couple of years, ran into a few issues, and then also ran into life. We were both, you know, starting to get serious and get married and whatnot. And so we ended up kind of shuttering that early in its cycle.
And for those who aren't familiar with what BaltiList is, can you explain further?
Yeah, BaltiList was a goal management and coaching site. So if you think of all the things that you want to do, most people have a goal. Our focus was using the SMART approach, specific, measurable, actionable, etc. So we force people to put a date on it. When do you want to achieve this thing by? And then we would pull in from all over the web all of the most useful information and guidance to help a person achieve those goals. And then we'd also coach them along with reminders and cheer them on as they went.
I can see some of that LPO, that leadership class, coming into play there when I heard SMART.
So yeah, it's one of those things, once you dive into it, you know, people are held back from achieving their goals by not committing to them and putting a date on it and telling, even if it's a computer, telling a computer about that date and having that computer try to help you along is useful.
After about 2.5 years at TELUS, you move on to FreshBooks, which is a startup based here in Toronto, building software, accounting software for small businesses. And you join there as a product marketing manager, which is different from a product manager. So for the listeners who don't necessarily know the difference between the two roles, can you walk us through what those are?
Yeah, so I would say product manager, and it will vary. Product manager is very much focused on the delivery of the product. So they're figuring out what the customer needs are and working with design development to deliver that, a product that fits that in the best way possible. Whereas product marketing management is focused on connecting the user to the product value. So you're also figuring out what the needs of the customer are, and you're partnering with the product manager in that. And then your focus is connecting those users with the product and product features that address those needs. So when I was at FreshBooks, my primary focus for most of my time there was the FreshBooks payments product and online payments in general. And so for me, it was connecting these users of FreshBooks to this payments product set and feature set that would allow them to accept payments online, get paid faster, and grow their businesses.
And was there a particular reason why you switched from being a product manager to a product marketer?
Yes. So I kind of touched on this briefly, but product management exists on a very broad continuum, in my view. And depending on the organization that you're in, you could be a product manager with lots of product marketing responsibilities. You handle the go-to-market, you handle any of those user acquisition or user management roles or jobs, as well as building the product. And then you've got, on the very other end, the more technical product manager, who is very much focused on how the product is delivered and getting under the hood. So I would say FreshBooks product managers were very much more focused on that far side of the more technical side of things, whereas the product management function was broken out on its own. In some organizations, you'll see product managers going the other way. They focus on, they also require the ability to handle the go-to-market, et cetera. And there's maybe a technical product manager or the engineering team takes care of all the more technical stuff. So for TELUS, product manager also handled the go-to-market and the marketing function and was a lot more focused on that in most cases. And so I use that as my ability, my opportunity to kind of pivot out of the big telco that's slow moving and not as forward thinking and into the smaller, fast paced, agile startup.
And I think what you're also pointing out is a main difference between product management at a larger technology company versus a startup as well, because at a startup, the product manager, like you described, may be responsible for also doing the product marketing, versus at a larger technology company, you may have different teams within product management, as you described. You may have a product manager, you may have a technical product manager, both working together in tandem on a product release.
Yeah, it really depends on how either of those companies structure their roles. At FreshBooks, the product management team rolled into the CTO. Right. And that tells you about their alignment. They're very much aligned on the engineering side versus you might have another one where the product management team rolls into a chief product officer or a chief marketing officer, which can generate a very different alignment. So it is very fluid. I would say product manager is not a regulated title. And so product manager means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Some organizations, you'll talk to product managers and you'll hear people with the product manager title. And what you'll hear is the role of a project manager, where they're focused on delivery and not on figuring out what to deliver. And then you'll go to others where you'll hear somebody called a business analyst and you're like, you're a product manager because what you do is product management. So the titles, unfortunately, aren't regulated. There's no like, hey, you know, overarching body that controls and determines what the product management function is and what rolls under that title. So yeah, it's all over.
You bring up a really interesting point about where the product management team rolls up into from a leadership perspective and how it varies across different companies. Would you recommend students who are interested in product management but have varying backgrounds, some with engineering backgrounds, some with not, would you recommend that they do their research on particular companies? And if they don't have a technical background, maybe they should focus on product management roles in companies where those teams ladder up maybe into a non-technical function?
I would look at the specific job postings or the profiles of product managers in those organizations. And it really comes down to what their expectations are. There's organizations that firmly believe that a product manager needs to be a comp sci grad or former engineer of some sort to do the job well. I don't subscribe to that. One reason being I'm not a comp sci grad or a former engineer, but you don't need that, I think, capability unless it's you're building product for engineers, then absolutely. The material becomes inaccessible to a product manager building a developer tool who's never actually written code. But I would say look at the profiles, and that will give you an idea of the approach that that organization takes to product manager and product management and what they expect a product manager to have from a skills and experience point of view. The other is product management requires lots of different capabilities. And I would say pretty much everybody, especially if you're in an MBA program, has some past experience that's applicable, whether it's design experience, project management experience, marketing experience, engineering experience. All of these things play some part in product. And so if you can say, you know what, I'm going to use my previous experience, anchor on that, and then demonstrate how I can take that and connect it to product management, I think that will help you along. It is going to be harder if you don't have a traditional product background, but I mean, what's a traditional product background?
I want to roll it back a couple steps and talk about the major differences between a product manager at a telco versus at a tech startup like FreshBooks. You touched on a couple of things like the speed and the development cycles, agile versus non-agile. Can you talk a little bit more about the differences?
Yeah, from my experience, I would say, and, you know, my experience in big telcos goes back almost 10 years now. So things are starting to change. Lots of the telcos have their, you know, TELUS Digital or Rogers Digital, where they're trying to apply those more lean and agile methodologies. But I would say the big differences are, one, rigor, the amount of rigor that's applied to the product function and where the product function sits in the level of importance within the organization. At a startup, product functions almost always at the center, whereas in larger organizations, it might not be. It might be off to the side. You know, they've got large, especially in a telco, large set installed bases that they're just trying to maintain and keep happy, versus a startup that's generally trying to build up a customer base. And so you're trying to take bigger swings versus in a large telco where you're not trying to take risks. You're trying to minimize risk in a lot of cases. And the other is, yeah, they're slow. Like, there's stuff at TELUS that I worked on that still is not launched. And I left TELUS a long time ago. Whereas startup, like, the goal is to ship as quickly as possible because you need to get stuff out as quickly as possible so you can get that feedback so you can iterate and move forward before you run out of cash. So those are some of the big differences. Pace, focus on target, and the kind of timeline to deliver.
I'm sure there are a lot of listeners right now wondering what they can be doing while they're still students to prepare themselves to land some of these product marketing or product management interviews. So if you think back to when you were a student, if you were thinking about pursuing one of these roles, what would you be doing to set yourself apart?
Ooh, I would say network is your starting point. You want to be known within the community. There's lots of companies always adding people. Right now, it's not as much as before COVID, but they're still adding. So that would be my starting point. You want people to think of you when new roles come up, especially associate product manager or, first year product manager roles. The other is really take some time and invest in product. And so do a course, join the groups, attend the meetings, do whatever you can to make clear, tangible steps that show you are interested and serious about product, and it's not a fly-by-night kind of thing. And then do some projects wherever you can. Like, take the opportunity to, even on small things, demonstrate product value and demonstrate product skills. Whether it's working with the clubs at the school, or it's really digging in and saying, how can I build a small product? That might not require you to code, but building a product in some way and putting it out there is the best way to demonstrate your product ability and your interest. If you look, lots of companies, they generally say product experience or founder experience. And founder experience can be a lot of things if you wrap it up in the right way.
What exactly are these courses and meetings you're referring to?
So there's a very large community within Toronto, GTA, Waterloo, Montreal, etc. That you can jump in. There's Slack groups for product. There are groups on LinkedIn. There's Startup TO, lots of links there. There's, I hope I can say this, just Fuck Up Nights. That's really good as well. So get out, I mean, now it's not getting out, but like turn your Zoom on, join these things, participate, jump into the chats and really try to learn a bit and get known. And then the other is just courses out there. Some of them are free. Some of them are paid. I believe Cornell has a really good product management course. I think University of Alberta as well, that are online. Take those courses, put them on your resume, make it clear that you're really interested and committed to it.
And once someone has landed a product marketing or product management interview, how would you recommend they best prepare? You mentioned something about go out and create a product. That could be many different things in order to demonstrate your abilities. What are some other things you would recommend someone show up to an interview with in order to ace it?
I would say learn the practice. There's approaches. There are lots of books and tools out there. The University of Waterloo has a really strong product management group. And trying to stay sharp always, I attended one of their sessions for like interviewing. So see if you can connect with those groups and jump in and learn. But product comes down to knowing, like any profession, knowing how it functions and knowing what the rules and the requirements are.
You were the head of product or director of product at a couple of different startups here in Toronto. And I'm curious, based off of the number of people that you have interviewed for product management, what are some things you would tell people to avoid doing during an interview?
Oh my God. Stay away from the whiteboard unless you absolutely need to use it. Like, I would say too many people come in and do their impression of a product manager or what they believe a product manager is. And oftentimes that involves going to the whiteboard unnecessarily and sketching and such. So I would say avoid that. That might just be me, but, stay away from that. Try to be yourself. Don't try to put on a persona. Like I said, product managers come in lots of different shapes and sizes and backgrounds. And one of the tenets of a good product team is diversity of thought and experience. And that's how you can build something really good. So don't try to kind of fit yourself in a hole or in a specific archetype. Be yourself. And yeah, it's not going to work out in every time, because they might be like, oh, we don't need that type of person. But it's better to not get that role and not be pretending for, 6 months before you realize, oh, this sucks. It's not the kind of place or not the kind of role that I want. That's what I would say. What I would say on the, please do side, ask questions. Try to always articulate the steps that you're taking to get to any solutions, recommendations, or ideas that you're putting forward. Think out loud in the meetings. Like, that's in most cases what they want to hear is your thought process and your problem solving process. Ask a ton of questions. But real questions, not made up questions, not like questions to fill time. There's lots more, but I would say like be authentic, be prepared, and it will work out.
Before we move into our final segment, I want to talk about what you're doing now. So you are the founder of Walky, which is a company that's providing members with temporary access to articles that are in subscriber only sections. Can you talk about what you're working on right now and what inspired you to create the company?
So you kind of hit it. Walky is about facilitating access to subscriber only content. And on the flip side of that, trying to help content publishers generate additional revenue so that they can actually be sustainable. Most traditional publishers, if not all publishers, are struggling when it comes to journalism and monetizing that journalism in a sustainable way. And they're, one of the ways they're going about that is restricting access. So we're really trying to kind of bring balance back to that space. We're just getting off the ground now. It's really early days. We've spent most of our time validating, doing the research, and talking to potential customers about their needs, their pains. And we're talking to publishers now. So we hope to be in market with about 5 publishers in the next 8 months or so. But yeah, we're just getting going. It's very early days.
Well, it sounds very exciting, and we'll be sure to look out for more from Waki in, you said 8 months time?
8 months time is the target, end of Q1.
Nice.
We'll see how it comes together.
Well, I want to move into our final segment, which I've dubbed the lightning round. It's 4 quick questions to get to know you, as well as get to know some of your favorite memories from Ivy. Are you ready?
Okay.
All right. So what was your favorite course at Ivy?
Entrepreneurial finance. That was a course that the approach was very different. And it was a really good look at entrepreneurship, business building, and the hustle that goes into it, and what it takes to actually build a business and make it work.
And who was your favorite prof?
Either Dave Simpson, who taught that entrepreneurial finance course, or Tony Frost. Like, Tony's approach to economics and making sure that you understood the drivers of the economic outcomes and not just the outcomes themselves, like the no story, no shifty rule, really was a great approach. And so I still use that in terms of trying to figure out, what does this news mean? The Fed drop rates, what does that mean? And so that was really good. But then Dave's course and his point of view as a person, like, you know, played briefly in the NHL, serial entrepreneur, always hustling, always trying to make things work. And then his lens on entrepreneurial finance was great.
It's so funny you mentioned the phrase no story, no shifty, because yeah, in our macroeconomics class, our phrase was, do you have the license to shift? So it sounds like economics, the economics professors just always have these great phrases.
Yeah. Yeah. It's necessary because, you know, my undergrad economics courses were just, this happens and then it shifts and that's it. But no understanding of the steps and the consequences that cause that to happen.
What's the most interesting TV show or movie you've watched recently and why?
Ooh. I do not get to watch a lot of TV these days. I've got 2 little ones, so it's very much a go, go, go kind of situation. But my wife and I got to watch the first half of Hamilton a couple of weeks ago, and that was great. Just a really interesting take on some historical events and kind of following a single person through. And then just little touches that they took to speak to other issues, issues like racism and slavery, without directly touching on them. So that we really enjoyed. We're still on intermission, the longest intermission in the history of theater, but we'll get to it in a week or two, I think, to finish it up.
And lastly, if you couldn't be an entrepreneur, a product manager, or a product marketer, what career would you be pursuing?
Probably chef.
Really? That's a different turn. Okay.
Yeah, chef. Like, I love cooking and I enjoy creating on the food side. I think creating is kind of a common thread for me through all the things I do. And so I've stayed away from food as a business just to not ruin it. But if I didn't have the other options, chef, maybe furniture maker, I do a little bit of that as well. So one of those two.
Adrian, you're just a man of many talents.
I don't know if I would call them talents. You know, I've built some rickety stuff as well, so...
Thank you so much, Adrian, for your time and your candid insights. I'm sure many of our listeners have learned a lot from this conversation. That's a wrap on our second episode. Thanks for listening. Special thanks to Jay Deverett and Mihir Radij, my fellow Tech Club execs. And thank you to our career management advisor, Patty Guzzo. If you liked what you heard, please follow, download, and subscribe. We'll be back later this week with another episode.